Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello one and all, welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which is going to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. You join me, your host Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Good afternoon or good evening.
Good evening. We are filming this the same day as the previous podcast. We are double-deckering.
Which is why we're in the same clothes.
That's basically why I was addressing that, because there'll definitely be some eagle-eyed people being like, why are you wearing the same clothes as last week? This is all in our attempt to tackle the sort of missing podcast that we've missed podcasts, basically. We've skipped weeks. And so we're busy men, so we're double-upping today. And so you still join us back here on Tony's mezzanine. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure to hit subscribe, turn notifications on for future episodes. And if you're listening to us, make sure to stay following us on whatever platform you are listening to us on, including Spotify. I'm going to keep pushing that.
Yeah.
Find us on Spotify.
Does it do well on there?
I think so. People seem to be enjoying it. My audio-only numbers have gone up.
Good.
You know, on average, 50,000 people watch and listen to this podcast.
So good.
That's pretty outrageous,
isn't
it?
It's very good.
I mean, we obviously go up and down depending on what we're talking about. But, yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable. So thank you so much for all of you that tune in and listen to this. However you do, we really appreciate the support. Please continue to spread the word. We want to get more and more people involved and listening and appreciating this podcast as you guys do. So, yeah, thanks again for the support. Today is a hot hatch special. It's an area of the car market which is very, very popular, an area that I'm trying to sort of, not specialise in, but concentrate on at the moment with my main channel, and it felt like a good opportunity to get some advice or some thoughts from Tony.
Yeah.
Because you obviously buy and sell plenty of hot hatch.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Right now, I know you've got a handful in stock. In fact, you almost always have a handful in stock.
Yeah, yeah.
And are they a sort of popular car? Do you find that you buy and sell quite a few of them in comparison to other cars, or where do they sit for you?
Yeah, so sometimes it's quite strange how we come across them. So we'll have a period sometimes where that's all we take in part exchange, hot hatches. So people going into SUVs or sports cars and they're coming out of their hot hatches, or from where we source our cars from, which are all main dealers, we don't go to auctions, they're taking hot hatches in part exchange. So hence that's why I've always got hot hatches in stock.
And do you find that there's a particular type of customer in a hot hatch, or do they really vary?
Well, they wear caps like you.
No,
they don't. No.
Cap crew.
No, they don't. That's stereotypical. They are kind of your age.
Okay.
Maybe starting a family.
Okay.
So maybe they're coming out of their two-door sports car.
Sure.
They still want to keep the fun, so they get a five-door hot hatch.
For those of you that don't know, I'm 28, FYI.
Yeah.
29 in 2 weeks.
Or they're early 30s, so they're a little bit younger than me. And they don't want to commit to the S-Max.
Sure, yeah.
Ford or
the soccer mum mobile.
Yeah.
The reason I ask is I actually think that hot hatches do appeal to a huge variety of people.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, you've done well or you're in a fortunate position and they're your first or second car, do see a lot of sort of very young people in hot hatches. As you say, whether you're late 20s, early 30s and either want a bit more space or you're getting rid of the sports car, or even if you're 40s and 50s and you just want something to just, you know, throw around and have a bit of a laugh in, they are such accessible cars in terms of power and price point.
They're very practical, and they all are good all-rounders. They do everything.
And I feel like they perform perfectly on an English B road.
Perfect.
They're almost made for the English B road. Yep. And I wonder, across the world, where else, you know, hot hatches are particularly popular? Because I do feel like in the UK it's a real thing.
Yeah, I think we're probably the biggest buyer of hot hatches in Europe, I would say.
I would concur from a, you know, from a buyer's point of view, rather than a salesman's point of view. So anyway, what we want to do is Tony and I are going to pick our three current favourite hot hatches on the market, discuss them, the attributes we like about them, things we don't like about them, and then also try and present you with some sort of cheaper alternatives. So this is going back to some of our early episodes when Tony gives some very useful buyer's advice.
Yeah, we don't do this a lot.
We haven't done it for a while. No. I know we've sort of forgotten about it. So we're bringing it back in form. If you're not interested in the hot hatch market, feel free to skip this episode and come back to next week's. But it should hopefully still be interesting either way, because we're chatting about cars and that's what we do here. So let's get into things. This is our hot hatch special. Awesome. Some of your...
Will you put some B-roll in there?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to... It's a new thing I'm trying to do, where either that's where the credits will roll, or that'll just be like a little jingle jangle.
Or your YouTube clip.
Yeah.
Not your YouTube, your Instagram clip, the swipe up one.
Yeah,
and you'll get the little bit in there.
Yeah, like... It's just like a little moment. We'll see. It might be nothing. Anyway. So let's kick things off. Tony,
yeah.
I would like, please, your three top hot hatches currently available on the market as new.
That I would buy.
That you would go and buy.
Personally.
So new cars from factory. This is not used.
Fine.
I want your three new cars.
So my number one is the most expensive, obviously. It's what, if I want a hot hatch, it would be my first choice. And that's the Audi RS3.
Okay, brilliant car.
Yeah.
I would almost argue it's like a baby sports car. It's that quick.
It's very fast.
It's unbelievably fast and almost unrealistically fast. When we did the hot hatch tour, myself, JWW, Paul Wallace, Paul obviously came in the RS3 saloon and we gave him crap all week. Not only because he turned up in a saloon to a hot hatch tour,
yeah,
but also because this car had about triple the power as anyone else. I can't remember the stats because I'm useless.
400 horsepower.
Thank you. I thought it was something like that. I mean, that's crazy, don't you think?
Yeah, 60 in under 4 seconds. They're very fast.
How much are they new?
That's its problem. So it's 50 odd grand, mate.
Which is outrageous.
Yeah.
And how do they hold value? Like,
no, they're good.
They're good?
No, they're good. They're good. But them and the A45, they're kind of in a league of their own. They're what we would call, a lot of people probably know that we've said this before, what we call a hyper hatch.
Hyper hatch. Well,
yeah.
A hyper hatch.
Because they're kind of a step up from the normal 300 horsepower hot hatches, which is what they all roughly are now, 280, 300-ish. They're all hovering around that mark. The new A45, which is coming in a year or so, will be 400 horsepower. The current RS3 is 400 horsepower. So they're the two that sit above the rest, essentially, in the market.
And they don't only sit above in performance, right? I mean, in terms of interior quality, build quality, features that are included, etc., they are top of the range there as well, right?
Yeah, which is why, I mean, the current A45 is cheaper than the Audi. But when you sit in both cars, you understand why. Because the Audi is just the best.
And yeah, I've always found that. I mean, I love Audi interiors. But yeah, in terms of the tech and the equipment that you get as standard, RS3 is just absolutely brilliant. I think my downside to it is Quattro.
Go on.
No, all I was going to say is that the in the UK, I get it. All year, you're out and about, you're absolutely thrashing it, you don't have to blink. I mean, you just get in and just thrash it all the time. But as a driver's car, for me, a very important part of a hot hatch is manual. And I would actually argue front-wheel drive, even though one of my picks is really the opposite of that.
Okay.
And so yeah, the RS3 is too much for me. That's I love it, but if I'm spending 50 grand, I'd probably go and get a used Jag instead.
Yeah, yeah, okay, it's fine.
It's too much.
But you told me no.
No. And Jag isn't a hot hatch. But what I'm saying is like, that's what turns me off about that car. It's brilliant, but it's too much.
It is a lot of money, granted, but it is a very, very good car. Okay. And we've had loads of them, and we always sell them. And
yeah, actually, you have an RS4 outside right now, right?
New shape RS4,
that's
yeah.
That's it. But you had an RS3 for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. That's always it. Normally run one.
Perfect. Okay, let's move on. What's next?
So the next, which is what everyone buys with their own money, essentially, that's the Golf R, the Volkswagen Golf R. Which for value
car
for money,
people.
Yeah, it is literally the people's car. For value for money, for everything you want a car to do, it's what we call a classless car. So whether you're lower class, middle class, or higher class, everyone in society accepts a Golf. And it is just faultless in making it 30 years. And at that price, it's faultless.
Is it essentially an RS3 in a Volkswagen body?
No.
No, it's not that.
No,
it's
not.
It's an
S3.
Okay, fine. And we're now Mark 7.5, is that right?
Yeah. So a Golf R and an S3 are similarly priced. The S3 is a little bit more money because it's an Audi, but I'd have the Golf.
When is the Mark 8 coming, do we know?
Won't be yet, mate. The 7.5 just come out.
Oh, is it literally just come
last
out?
Last year, yeah.
Oh, wow, so, okay, so it's pretty fresh. So
yeah,
it's still a good...
Yeah, yeah, they'll facelift it maybe in 3 years.
Because I love the look of that car.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely... I don't know why, but I keep thinking about Golf R's at the moment. I keep seeing pictures of them. I'm just going to move my microphone slightly, sorry. I think it's brilliant. And Lenny the Geezer, fans or viewers of the main channel will know Lenny.
Do you know he dyes his hair?
Do you know that for a fact?
I'm almost sure, mate.
Lenny, if you're listening or watching, this feels like a controversial topic. I need to get... Really?
We need to get him in.
No.
Is it L'Oreal or Vanna Zassouni?
What? No.
I'm telling you, mate,
really?
I've never met a vainer man in all my life.
Oh, my God! Lenny, I'm so sorry. I didn't know this was coming. I love you, Lenny. I disagree. You're a beautiful human being. Oh my God! There's beef on the podcast. Don't. You can come next to me, Lenny. Throw shade at Tony. I've got your back, bro. Wow, this is really taking a weird turn. So anyway, well, he's got a very nice car.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful car, and that's a Golf R 7.5, all in black. Just looks mean as hell. Now, I want to come back to this because one of my picks sort of argues. So we're gonna come back to the Golf R because I think there's a very obvious other choice.
Okay, fine.
In that range. But just keep rattling through. I now want your third pick.
Okay, so the third pick is what every lad in Essex buys, and that's the Fiesta ST.
It's been me. Have you driven the new one yet?
Not the new one.
No, okay.
But the previous gen is great.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Me and Paul Wallace drove it down to Monaco for the Grand Prix 2 or 3 years ago. 3 years ago. Brilliant little car.
Yeah. Even on the motorway at 80 or 90 mile an hour, it's solid.
And I've heard good things about the new one.
Yeah, yeah.
And it pops and crackles on the exhaust,
it's fun
to drive.
It's big.
It's big, yeah. I don't think it looks... It's too pretty. I think it should be more aggressive.
Yeah, maybe. Looks nice inside. It's got the new tablet on the dash.
Okay.
So, yeah, it looks a bit German, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, well, there we go. And price-wise, what... Oh, nearly dropped my water.
I think...
What was the last one?
No, I think the new one is 19.5 grand plus option, so be like 21, 22 grand ish. Don't quote me, I think it's around that.
Okay.
So for a mini hot hatch, I guess that's where we'd put it, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
What's a Golf GTI? 27?
Mm.
Or Focus RS?
Focus RS is 30, right?
30 and a bit more, yeah. But even so, it's a lot of money, but cars are Cars are a fortune now.
All cars are a fortune, but then, you know, the finance or a leasing company comes along and That's something makes them not. So get in touch with Magnitude if you want to buy a Fiesta ST. But, okay, super interesting picks. And I guess sort of ramping down, you went RS3, Golf R, Fiesta ST, a bit of a spread there.
That's why I've done it.
Yeah, that's why you've done it. Well, well played, sir, well played. And slightly different driving dynamics for all of them. RS3 and Golf R, both quattro, big powered. Would you have the Golf, is the Golf R DSG only?
No, both.
For both. Would you have it DSG or manual?
I'd have a DSG.
You'd have a DSG and a Fiesta?
Manual.
Yeah. So it's weird, that, isn't it? I kind of agree, as you uprate the power, there's a point where it switches, it's just going to be quicker, isn't it?
Yeah,
having, having the auto or the flappy paddle. God, no one's called them flappy paddles for a while, have they? But yeah, it's just going to be a quicker option. But yeah, when you're sort of less powered, a smaller car, I agree, you want the
manuals. You've got time to think.
Yeah, got time to think, but it's more engaging. That's how you kind of want to rag it, isn't it? Okay, so those are Tony's three cars.
What are your three?
Well, we'll rattle through my three. So I'll kick things off. I want to pick up on the Golf thing, because I would actually pick a Golf GTI. And I know you mentioned it briefly, and my reasoning to this is that I think it's a little bit more classless, a little bit more car of the everyday person. I think Golf R is a bit big and shouty. Brilliant, really cool. I actually kind of secretly really want one, but it's a bit like statement car. Whilst GTI just goes so under the radar. I would probably have a manual Golf GTI. You've got the old classic seats inside. Something about it, I think, is a bit more subtle. And I think that's important with a hot hatch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for me, the Honda Civic Type R, for example, is everything a hot hatch shouldn't be. It's unbelievably quick, but way too leery.
Yeah.
You want to be subtle in a hot hatch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, interesting you say Golf GTI, because if you compare the GTI and the Golf R, obviously the Golf R's got another 60 or 70 horsepower and it's four-wheel drive, not two-wheel drive. But the GTI, they do a performance pack which takes it to 240 or whatever.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
But as a used car, the GTI holds its money better than the R.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because they don't make so many of them. So lease deals on an R, which is what floods the market, they're really cheap because the residual payments are really, the balloon payments are really strong on them. So when they become used after 3 years, they've evened themselves out, and there isn't much difference between an R and a GTI because of that.
Sure.
Because there's more R's than GTIs.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's super interesting. So do you have more R's coming into stock than GTIs as well?
Yeah. I would say we probably, actually, to be honest, we don't see enough of them. If I could have 10 of each in stock, I always sell Golf GTIs, Golf GT diesels, Golf R's. Whenever I get them, I sell them.
Sell them quick.
I've got one coming. I've got a Golf GT coming, but I haven't got a GTI and I haven't got a Golf R at the minute, because they're not around.
Something loud has started up down on the forecourt. Some cars have been moved around. Yeah, very nice. But do you remember that classic advertising campaign VW did, which was like a Golf? You know, I was just like a Golf, mate. Or like, well, slammed the doors like
adverts.
A Golf. They made the best adverts.
They really
but it was the epitome of Golf. I mean, they are fundamentally the best. My first car was a Golf. Yeah. And I still tell people it's one of the best cars you can have as a first car. Because they just don't really do anything wrong.
No.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
So GTI would be my pick, but as I've mentioned, I do lust after an R slightly. Moving on, I'm going to say the Megane RS.
You've been driving one for a week.
Basically that. So I've just stepped out of one.
You've given it back?
Yeah, I just stepped out of it. So yeah, sorry for the time lapse, time delay. Any of you who are watching this, it's now obviously a couple of weeks ago that I stepped out of the car, but as of the date of recording, it was yesterday that I handed it back.
Did you like it?
I really liked it, mate. Because you know what? I love a sporty Renault. I've always loved a sporty Renault.
Me
going
too.
Back to Megane R26R, Clio 182s. I just love a sporty Renault.
I had Renault 5 turbos when I was growing up.
Lad.
Love
Look
them.
At you go, show off.
Yeah.
But there's just something cool about them. And around a track, they're mega, and they just feel like they're purposeful.
Yeah.
I love the look of the new Megane. I love the look of the Megane RS. Inside, it was great. I don't know if I'd have the cup. So this is the 280 cup. And I'm not sure I would have that. It was a bit too firm, just a little unnecessary, maybe, unless you're going to track it a lot. Now, I don't know when this is going out, this podcast.
Oh dear.
I believe there is a fruitier version of the Megane coming.
Is there?
Legally, that's all I'm going to say right now, because I don't know when I'm putting this out. But yes, I believe a fruitier version is coming.
Does that mean you're going to get one?
Yeah. I wish I was a Schmier or JWW. I bought it. But no, but I've just heard that there's a fruitier version coming. So I'm intrigued by that, because when I wasn't in sport mode, I could have used a little bit of extra power. But in sport mode, it flies along the road. And I just really like it. I think people still look down on the Renault badge, maybe.
They're a few quid now, like most cars.
Mm.
Again, I think Renault, Vauxhall, all them brands, I think their biggest problem is Ford with the RS.
Sure.
And Volkswagen with the Golfs.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a few derogatory comments under my Megane video just saying, like, because the car I drove was 34 grand.
See?
And people were like, oh, way too much for a Renault.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll never pick a Renault. There's so many other cars I'd pick over a Renault. Which I always feel is the shame. Like, it's that sort of... I remember when I went and drove that Toyota Yaris, the GRMN, back at the beginning of the year. Yeah. And everyone just discounted it straight away. But it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I loved it. But it's sort of bad snobbery, isn't it?
They sold all them.
Sold them all out?
Yeah, they sold them out.
Yeah, wicked little cars.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's bad snobbery.
Yeah.
And do you struggle sometimes with that in the hot hatch market? Like, you know, because there are... I feel like every single brand now is making some kind of form of hot hatch. Look at the VW Up GTI.
Oh, yeah.
Coolest little thing in the world. I mean, that's, again, VW. But across the board, you've got Hyundai with the i30N.
Supposed to be a good car.
Supposed to be a great car.
Yeah.
So do you find there's a bit of a bad snobbery sometimes where if you're trying to push somebody into something that they're like, oh, yeah, but that's only a Hyundai or a Kia or whatever.
Yeah, because people always aspire to be the best and have the best. So unless you're a pure petrol head, must have the best driving machine, you'd probably buy the Renault or the Honda.
Because
drive... As both manual.
Absolutely. And arguably two of the best driver's cars.
Exactly.
Especially that Civic.
Yeah. They're the two that you buy. But they're very good at that. The Golf, the Focus, the Audi S3.
Sure.
They're good at everything.
Yeah.
They do everything.
And have a tiny bit more prestige.
And they hold their money a bit better.
Mm. Yeah, interesting one there. So I would love people not to write off the Megane so quickly and give it a go, but I understand why people do. That just made me think of another car. When we were just having that conversation, there was another car that I was like, oh, everyone writes off so quickly.
Go on.
No, but like, oh, a Bath.
No, I'm... It's, mate, it's not in your list.
It's not on my list.
I'm amazed.
But do you know why? Because I love them and I adore them, and everyone on the channel knows I love them and I adore them. But they are sort of relatively crap.
Mate, I sell them.
You sell them?
No, I sell them. People, as in, yeah, whenever I get them in, I sell them.
Do you sell them mainly to girls?
No.
Really?
No.
Lads?
Men.
Sick.
Full-grown men buy them
good.
As well.
Good.
I have a regular customer that, a banker in London used to use it as his station car.
Mate.
Loved it.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
They are literally golf balls. They're go-karts. They're the most fun things I have to drive. The Series 4, the latest version, 595 Competizione, is a winner. Because let's face it, the 695 Proposto was a joke.
How much? They're... Fiesta ST money.
Yeah. So a fully spec, tick every single box on a 595 Competizione, 24 grand. 25 maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ticking every single box. Yeah. I think they start around 19.
Yeah, okay, fine.
But 180 horsepower, so much fun, Italian flair, sound the nuts, can chuck it around a track. Surprisingly stable on motorways. The only reason I didn't pick them is that is one car, again, bad snobbery. Oh, what, Fiat 500, mate? Oh, what, and a Bath? Oh, what? Like, people just do not get it.
Yeah, you've
until
got to explain.
You've got to explain. Yeah. Oh, yeah, if you drove it, you'd know.
Yeah.
And so that's why I just don't want to put anyone through that hassle. But it's a thing to drive. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Not a lot of space in them. That's the thing, again, I'm not hugely practical.
We did have a lot of space in your one, mate. You had two seats.
I had tons of space. It had a ball cage.
You only
in
just
way.
About had room for a radio in the back.
Just about. Aftermarket speaker. So my third choice is actually a bit of a controversial one. Not one I expected to make.
Ooh.
Don't look. Don't cheat.
Oh.
I have a laptop open with my list in front of me for those of you
sometimes
not watching.
We have to look at this.
Yeah, sometimes we have to remind ourselves. BMW 140i. This is coming from Sam, the I don't like BMW man. Now, this is largely come... I've never driven one. Never driven one.
Yeah.
But you haven't driven the new Fiesta ST, so...
No, yeah, I suppose. Fair.
This is purely based on Instagram. I think they look... awesome. Rear wheel drive, which I think is winner for a hot hatch.
Can I have it in a manual?
Have it in a manual.
It's too fast for a manual.
A lot of power. Sounds fruity. And yeah, just wicked.
Yeah.
I love the concept of it. I think it looks amazing. Very few rear wheel drive hot hatches. Just winning.
Yeah. Not a lot of room in them though. And there were a lot
really?
Of money.
Not a lot of room.
There's not a lot of room in the back, and there's not a lot of room in the boot. So as a practical hot hatch, you have to go back to the Golf or the Audi.
That's interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I appreciate that insight.
You've never driven one.
No.
They drive good, though.
Yeah.
They do drive, and they do sound good.
They sound good.
Yeah, yeah.
Supposedly drive good. They look good. I'd like to borrow one. BMW.
Please,
for a little bit of time. How do you find the BMW hot hatch sales, though? Because one series has been around for a huge amount of time now.
I've not had a 140, I only had 135s, or the 235s, which is the coupe version, which is the baby version of the M2, essentially. We do all right with them.
Yeah,
we do all right with both of them. The biggest problem with them is they're so cheap on PCP new.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that when if we get a year old one, we struggle with it. Mainly because you can get a new one on finance for the same or less than what...
Magnitude, expect a phone call.
Yeah. That is the whole reason why.
That's the whole reason
so
why.
So once they get 2 or 3 years old, then they're decent.
So that is 6 cars that we have chosen between us as our sort of picks. Now, obviously, as we've mentioned a few times, there are so many hot hatches out and about, so many new ones, so many ones that have been out for a while, and everyone seems to have their sort of favourites. It seems to be a very loyal base when it gets into hot hatch sort of territory. So let us know. Comment below or tweet us. If you're listening to us only, please tweet us. Let us know what you think the best hot hatch on the market is now new that you could go out and buy new. Don't send us things saying, you know, the Renault 5 Turbo. We want to know new, because there are, you know, Peugeot are doing bits.
The GTR.
Yeah, the Vauxhall are doing bits. I mean, there's lots of stuff going on. So send us some messages or comment below. Let us know your favourites, or even what you're in, what you're driving. But also let us know if you have any bad experiences. I feel like there's also a lot of expectation when it comes to the hot hatch world.
I think they're quite solid, though, the hot hatch world, as in, because it's such a competitive market, I think they're all fairly bulletproof. I mean, they've all been making them a long time now, mm-hmm. and they've all had a good run-up at them. So I think they're all...
pretty decent.
I think so. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
What we want to do, I want to ask you now, is basically for an alternate, because all of the cars we've selected have been new, and they range from, as we discussed, around 20 to... 50 grand for your RS3.
50 odd.
Let's talk about the used market, and let's talk about, I don't know, the 10 to 15 grand sort of price point. If someone was coming in here who wanted a hot hatch but, you know, wasn't looking to buy one new, was looking to buy one used, what are some good steals, some sort of great cars that are sort of half that price, as I say, between sort of 10 and 15 grand?
Fiesta ST again.
So the previous generation,
the generation now, so like you can get a 2016 car ST3, which is the top of the range one, with sub 20,000 miles on it for 13 grand ish.
That is, I mean, that's a steal, because that's a wicked little car.
Yeah, Golf GTI, not 7.5 but Mark 7,
okay,
at least. Get one of them for 15k. I think you probably could get one for 15k.
A bit higher mileage.
It might be up on the miles, but you'll get one.
They're all right, right? Golf's a higher mileage. I mean,
no, yeah, they're bulletproof. They're kind of, they're not really a steal. They're actually quite expensive, the Golf, but it's where everyone seems to put their money, essentially, with their own money they'll buy. Again, any of the Renaults or the Vauxhalls, they all seem to be very cheap after a couple of years. The VXRs and the McGanns and stuff. What else? Again, the Abarths. They'll be under 15 grand after a couple of years.
Series 3. I think the Series 4 seem to be holding their values quite well, because I have had a look before, at least for the 595 comps. Yeah. But the Series 3, the previous generation, which was the shape of my 695 Proposto, for any main channel viewers, still a great car. And yeah, I think a bit of a steal, as you say, 12, 13 grand.
135s, I think you can probably get them for 15 grand.
Fruity.
Yeah, yeah.
BMW fans.
There's a lot, mate. There's a lot.
You're spoiled for choice.
Yeah.
And it probably does come down to personal preference.
Yeah.
And I do think, you know, because it's so competitive, it comes down to what you want looks-wise, badge-wise, performance-wise, whether you want a true driver's car, whether you want to do a bit of style. And it is a matter of getting out there and driving, isn't it? I think, you know, it's worth trying a few different cars to see which ones fit with you. Whilst a lot of people just get in their heads, I think especially the younger people, you go, oh, all I want is an S3, all I want is a Golf R, whatever. But it's worth checking it out. And to be fair, and to give Tony a bit of a plug, you do often have cars down here, and so people could easily get in touch and come down and check out a few options, and so see if I recommend doing that, either going on a day when you can go to a number of different dealerships and try out things, or go to an independent like Tony that has a few cars that you can just back to back look over and check out and maybe even test. I think that's where it's at. It's been a shorter episode than usual, but it's been one that we've been wanting to do, and we like doing these kind of like, you know, car buyer specials.
Oh, they're good fun.
They're good fun. Yeah. They're hopefully useful consumer advice.
Bit of insight.
Let us know what you want our next topic to be. We've done supercars. We've done £50,000 cars. We've now done hot hatches. SUVs, maybe? I'm not really sure, but
let us know. A lot of SUVs.
Yeah, there you go. We're happy. Actually, looking over out behind us, I can already see a Merc SUV.
There's loads downstairs.
An Audi SUV. There's loads of bits and bobs. Again, tweet us, comment below, let us know that as well. If you're watching us on the YouTube channel, hit subscribe, turn notifications on, make sure you don't miss future episodes. If you're listening to us, make sure to keep following us on whatever platform you are listening to us on. You can follow me, Sam, at Seen Through Glass on most platforms, and you can follow Tony at Gravelwood Car Sales on most platforms as well. I think that's about it.
Yeah, done.
Ciao.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.